It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Back down the Sharks at center. Mize moved by Barabanov down the left, gets by one defender, but he's pursued by another. Nugent Hopkins has to stop, has to throw it across the ice. The shot, score! Tomas Hertl gets a brilliant feed from Alexander Barabanov, and the Sharks on that Hertl goal take the 1-0 lead at 1:14 of this game. At center ice, Johnson just shoots it in deep. That's the smart thing to do, but unfortunately, it skates off of the skate of Logan Couture. Now Carlson centers in front, Johnson shoots, and he scores! Erik Karlsson, a spectacular recovery after it looked like the Sharks were going to lose the puck, feeds it out in front to his fellow countryman, Andreas Johnsson, who picks up his first goal since being acquired from New Jersey, and the Sharks have tied it 2-2. There's Broberg for it on defense, and he sends toward the slot with the help from the left winger, but it's intercepted, and EK65's taking off. 2-on-1 developing. Karlsson, lead pass, moving in, shot, score! Erik Karlsson gets it to Noah Gregor. Gregor makes no mistake. The kid from Beaumont, Alberta makes it 5-3 Sharks with 15:57 left in the third. And Erik Karlsson has 3 points.
That's the game we play now. That's a technology I guess I don't really have a whole lot to say about that. It's frustrating when you can slow plays down like that. And it just kind of seems like... we're usually coming out on the short end of the stick, so it's too bad. But that's the game, and those are the rules. So the pucks either weren't going in, or goalie interference, or whatever the calls were. That's when you can look at it, 15, 20 times and slow it down. That's what the result is. So it's too bad, but that's life.
All right. Good morning, folks. I will start you off with a little stat from Stats Superstar Darren Stevens at Shark Stats on Twitter. He put this tweet up last night at about 9:35 per the NHL, which says, "We believe tonight Sharks and Oilers marked the most overturned coaches' challenges by one team and both teams in a game since the review started in 2015-2016. Stevens went on to say, "Thank you to the NHL. This is not a stat that is regularly kept." And that is just the way that last night's game was overall. We were seeing things that we simply had not seen before in the terms of that many overturned goals. I mean, I knew that when, you had a goal overturned that early, it was like, this could be a long night and things aren't going the Sharks' way. But, just back and forth and the goals being taken off the board, that was remarkable. I mean, that's why the system is in place. I would rather they get the call right, and none of those were egregiously long periods of time to figure out the call. I'm usually one of those people who, gets pretty annoyed when the call takes a long time to figure out, but none of them really did. They did it pretty quickly, and every time the replay showed that they got things right, whether it was goalie interference, whether it was an offside, whatever it was going to be. So it didn't really bother me that much, other than the fact that, we took some points away from some Sharks who would have liked to have had those stats on their year. But, sometimes games present uniquely, and last night's game presented rather uniquely. I think that's the best way to look at it, and we'll get into some of that reaction from the players a little bit later. But, that was overall just a really, really exciting game. And, I will acknowledge that there has been a lot of Sharks hockey lately since the deadline, since the roster is, taking a downturn where it's like, you're kind of holding on, waiting to see what happens. The Sharks in a couple of games have struck first, but then momentum of the other team, which generally has more talent, has been too much for the Sharks to handle. Whereas last night's game, back and forth, really fun, really entertaining. Both team stars, making their influences on the game, and you're getting big time moments and Reimer's making saves, and just, I enjoyed every aspect of that game, and I was, obviously able to watch it at home and watching it with my kids, and they were all in on it, and they were having fun watching it. And I always, you know, I always go by the fact that if this is keeping the engrossed attention of a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old, which is about where I put my own mental maturity, then it, you know, it's a very good, entertaining game. And that was, it was a tough one to lose. I mean, I understand that points are not the Sharks' best friend at this point of the year, and there are those of you who are looking at the Sharks having, you know, 3 overtime losses out of their last few games and would have liked to have not had those 3 points on the board. But you know what? These guys have to be in a position where they keep on fighting. These guys have to be in a position where they've got something to play for, because, you know, from now to the end of the year, that was the 12th to the last game. Now we've got 11 left. It's about proving yourself, and it's about showing who wants to be a part of the solution for the future. And you look at a guy like Stephen Lawrence, you know, in my opinion, he showed the Sharks that he wanted to be part of this, that he wanted to be a member of the team for the future. And I've liked his play all year long, and I think that next year he will be that much better. But the way he was fighting throughout the game, scoring goals, I mean, those are the type of things that you pay attention to. It's like, who's screaming up and down the ice when it's March 20th and you're eliminated from the playoffs? Who's trying to do special things? Who's trying to impact the game? And, you know, you can say that of a Lawrence. And even Noah Gregor last night, he's playing in front of his, you know, relative home crowd by going back to a place near Beaumont where he is from, and he's out there giving a really good performance. And, you know, James Reimer was having a very good performance throughout the course of the game. And, you know, even though he let in 5 goals, you know, I didn't think the defense, A, was great in front of him. And you also have to acknowledge that the offense that Edmonton has is pretty special. I mean, they are a power play team first and foremost, obviously, but, you know, at any given moment, they can hurt you. And the Sharks did a good job of keeping that under control, especially considering, you know, what happened the last time these two teams played. But it was a fun game. It was an entertaining game. And that's just really what I hope to see overall. I just look at this at the viewpoint of, let's be entertained. Let's have a good time and see what happens when all is said and done. Erik Karlsson, you know, continues to make his case for being the Norris winner when all is said and done. And listen, I understand there are some of you who look at things of more of a maybe the plus-minus viewpoint and maybe a more defensive defenseman, but I'm sorry, the way that he is going out there and performing, the way that he's been so consistent throughout the entirety of the year, you can't really argue with the production he has done. And I understand you can take umbrage with other aspects of his game, but Erik Karlsson continues to produce, continues to have a massive season. He's got 87 points on the year. I would love to see him be able to get to 100 before all is said and done, because 100 points is a massive, massive season. That's something special. That's something that we don't get to see very often from a Sharks player. I mean, he's already up there with some of the greatest Sharks season we've ever seen. And for him to keep on pushing this number higher, yeah, push it higher. What else are we rooting for right now? In fact, if you go into a Sharks game rooting for anything, not really wanting to root for a win because you know it's not potentially helping their draft position, then root for Erik Karlsson to rack up the points from here on out. Root for him to get to that 100-point mark and just be in the realm of having one of the great defenseman seasons of all time, because that's, you know, that's what we're looking at overall in terms of a narrative from here to the end, because it's not going to be like a playoff push. It's not like we're looking at William Eklund anymore, and I don't know what exactly the Sharks are going to do in terms of emergency call-ups if Andreas Johnsson is going to be injured. We don't know the detail on that. We'll probably find out more later today, but you know, rooting for Erik Karlsson's got to be up there with one of the more entertaining aspects from here to the end of the season, just because he is having the year he's having, and there's not a whole lot else to really focus on other than the Sharks putting out good efforts and entertaining efforts. And I suppose if you want to, you know, go bigger picture, last night, the fact that the team did have that better resiliency is another thing that I was really paying attention to, especially in light of that Islanders game where the Sharks scored first, and then it was all Islanders from that point out. Like, there was not a whole lot of positivity in that game. It wasn't like it was a crazy bad effort or anything like that, but it was just like, okay, once New York stole it back, the Sharks had no response. In this game, you know, there was a response. The Sharks were battling. They were trying to keep themselves engaged. And yes, it was a wide open, free-flowing game that was not, you know, maybe what the Sharks had planned for going into it, but A, that's what Edmonton's going to force you into because they have the talent to do so. But the Sharks, you know, they kept on battling. They kept on finding themselves in a position where they were able to put pucks on frame and get shots off and score. And obviously, you know, they just had the ability to stay with them. And again, this speaks to the greater frustrating nature of the Sharks season is that they have consistently had the ability to hang with a lot of teams in the NHL. It's the inability to find themselves the 2 points when all is said and done to get the win. And they're battling. They're there. They've had so many overtime and shootout losses this year. And, you know, they've been better on the road for reasons that I cannot entirely explain. But for that style of game, the Sharks hung around with one of the more talented teams in the NHL. And it's something that I don't know if it gives you hope or frustration, but I felt it was relatively noteworthy, you know, especially considering how they played the last time against Edmonton. And that was not pretty. And that's the one that we are all looking to forget. And they'll play in Edmonton again towards the end of the season. In fact, the last game of the year is in Edmonton. So we'll see a battle again between these two teams. And I always, you know, like the battles between the superstars, like the idea of going into a game and knowing that Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and Erik Karlsson can go off for points in a game and have an impact. Like, to me, that makes it all the more exciting. Listen, I'm always ready to watch a defensive first game and really see hard hits and, you know, good structure. I'm all for that as well. Don't get me wrong. But there is a part of me that loves the prospect of stars putting up points, having big games, going against each other. Like, I'll take that any day of the week. Because we all want to be entertained, right? Like, we all want to have these moments that we remember throughout the course of the season where just you're entertained, where you have a good time watching the game. And I feel like that hasn't been happening nearly enough with the San Jose Sharks. Like, there's a lot of games that I don't think they are, not that they're not entertaining, but it's just like you have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen next because the Sharks have played to a narrative where they're up and then the other team steals the momentum and then it can be heartbreaking at times. Last night, I didn't feel good about the Sharks winning in overtime against Edmonton. I'll be the first to acknowledge it. But, you know, throughout the entire game, I was thoroughly engaged. I was thoroughly entertained. I was thoroughly, you know, overall just enjoying what I was watching. And I think that I even saw some posts on this about social media and Reddit about it feeling like an older style of a Sharks game where it really was fun and you forgot about, you know, the team's record and what the season has been. And I hope that we get more games like that in the near future because I know it's been a tough few years for the fan base. And I acknowledge that we were spoiled for years. You know, you have 15 years of being one of the top teams in the NHL and always being in the playoff race and always acquiring at the deadline and always trying to do something special to make, you know, the team that much better going into the postseason. And, you know, you get Stanley Cup final runs, you get Western Conference final runs, you get just overall entertaining, engaging hockey of the highest nature for so many years. I don't know that you take it for granted because you always enjoy it in the moment. But, you know, now that we're on the other side of it and we're the team that are sellers and we are the team that are not engaged in these, you know, high profile games, you do know that it gets a little bit, you know, there's a little bit of drudgery associated with it. Right now, the Sharks are trying to just get through to the end of the season. And we didn't have to deal with this in the 2019-2020 season because the pandemic cut things short. The Sharks were out of the playoff picture at that point, but you didn't know what was going to happen next. And then in the abbreviated 56-game schedule, the team just, you know, had a tough time finding themselves, and there were considerations to be made. You know, they played the, what, first 13 games of the season on the road. They didn't have their training camp in Santa Clara. They had to have it in Arizona as well. Like, it was not a normal season in any way, shape, or form, and so you missed the playoffs again that year. And then last year, obviously, they were hanging around but were not able to take great steps forward, and so they missed out of the playoffs again. And then you had a big change in the offseason with, you know, Doug Wilson stepping down in the final month or 6 weeks of last year's regular season, and you're left kind of in a limbo situation for a bit. And then it's a new general manager, and then it is a new head coach, and, you know, everything was changing once again with the San Jose Sharks, and, you know, there was the trade of Brent Burns, and these were all things that, you know, we paid attention to and we watched happening in real time, and we didn't know what was going to happen this year. And, you know, this year the Sharks got off to a bad start, and, you know, then they had some nice road trips that gave you a little bit of hope overall. But, you know, this is a team that all year long has been out of the playoff picture, has been looking for stability, and has been trying to find slow and low-level improvements because they just proved themselves to be a not very good team off the bat. And they have, you know, made slight improvements. They've made themselves a less turnover-prone team, or at least the painful turnover-type teams. But, you know, throughout the course of the year, it's been very easy to focus on the negativity. It's been very easy to focus on where this team is going to be come, you know, the draft day, right? Like, that's been a big conversation for a long time now. now we're waiting it out. Now we're just looking through these final stretch of games and waiting to get to the end and seeing where the chips fall. And the ultimate payoff for a season like this is you hope that it leads you to a superstar in the future, whether or not that is Connor Bedard, I cannot tell you. But, you know, you would hope that a season like this will allow you to get a really good draft pick, a really good player, and that you were able to say, hey, you know, that team wasn't good in 2022, 2023, but it led to this. Now, obviously, led to this is a future perspective that we're not a part of yet. It's something that we are hopeful for, but that we don't ultimately know. So, yeah, it's tough right now. And there's been a lot of things this year that have not been fun. And that's why last night, you know, it felt like you were allowed to forget all those other aspects of the season. It felt like you were allowed to, you know, be more focused on the back and forth nature of the game and a really competitive tilt with elite players doing their thing. So from that aspect, yeah, I'll take a game like that any day of the week. We all needed a game like that to cleanse our palate and prepare for this now final 11 games of the season for the San Jose Sharks. All right, we are going to get into some post-game sound on the other side. You're on Morning Tide.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Here's a play tip to the middle. Lawrence has a breakaway. Moving in, shooting it. Score! The first save was made by Campbell, but Lawrence persevered, and he got a little piece of the rebound and knocked it home. Stephen Lawrence ties the game 2-2 at 8:32 of the second period.
It was a good hockey game, and it was back and forth for a while there. Obviously, that's a very skilled club. We're aware of the talent they have on the front end, and you know they got some guys in the back end, too, that could chip in offensively. We saw that tonight, but obviously we're happy with some of the results, I guess, from the hard work we put in and you know, the video we're watching on this team. And it's just obviously a very disappointing way to lose, giving up a goal late and not being able to finish it off in overtime. So it's definitely some positives we can take away from this game. But at the same time, you know, we're not thrilled with the result either.
That is a goal from Stephen Lawrence as called by Dan Rusinowski. And then Lawrence himself bringing us back in on a Tuesday morning after the Sharks' overtime loss to Edmonton. You know, the Sharks, yeah, they're probably not enamored with the final result, but the battle throughout the game in a unique game that was, you know, with that many overturned goals and that many just weird aspects to it, you know, I think they should be pleased with their efforts because they're going up against Edmonton, a very good team. They went toe-to-toe with them, took them to overtime. No, the result did not go their way when all was said and done, but it wasn't because the Sharks played a bad game. It's because they did not have as much talent throughout the course of the game as Edmonton did, and I think that that bodes well for the future. The effort that we've seen from the Sharks this year, the way they've been able to go with these upper echelon teams, I think if you do get more talent on this Sharks team while maintaining that overall mentality, it's going to lead to some good results. And I know that seems like it's a long way off right now, but you know, this is what you want to hold on to from these bad years. You want to hold on to the efforts. You want to hold on to, you know, these games that you were able to hang around, even if you were not supposed to quote unquote hang around, because that is something that could serve them well in the future. Let's get a little bit more from Lawrence, just talking about the idea of it being a revenge game against Edmonton, especially knowing how it went the last time they played them.
I mean, we addressed it before the game, and like I said, you can obviously see what you know, their top-end talent does around the league. It's not just us, and you know, we had a bit of a chip on our shoulder too tonight, so we're definitely aware of what they did to us last time, and you know, we're prepared come puck drop. You know, we thought we played a fairly solid all-around game tonight, and there was just a few lapses that ended up costing us. Like I said, you know, when you have world-class players of that caliber coming down the wing and you know, just making plays cross ice and you know, you're going to give up a couple goals a night, that happens. But I think we actually did a pretty good job containing them on a lot of the shifts. So, like I said, it's very unfortunate that they came out on top. But, you know, I think there's definitely, even in the D zone especially, some positives we could take away. And, yeah, we'll address that tomorrow. And we're looking forward to the next challenge.
Now let's hear a little bit from James Reimer weighing on this game as well.
That would have been nice, but I mean, you know, we battled hard. I mean, proud of the boys in here. I mean, we came with that's a really good hockey team over there with a few above average hockey players. So, you know what I mean? I'm just proud of the way we played.
So I want to ask you about that save at the end and over just to get into it. 47 seconds left on the power play. What did you see on that play?
Yeah, I don't know, honestly, I kind of forget. The rebound popped out, and obviously, you know, we talked about how they like to sling it to the back door, and so I was kind of off balance, and I saw him pass it back to Draisaitl, and I mean, I just tried to get something on it, and lucky enough, he hit me. So, yeah, just one of those where sometimes you get those bounces, and it's nice.
Yeah, Reimer had 46 saves last night, and he had to see 51 shots, and I know that, you know, you're going to say, well, letting in five goals isn't something to necessarily be proud of, but when you're seeing that many shots, when you're having to stop that much from that attack, you are going to see goals get in. So I do give Reimer a lot of credit for making a lot of the big stops that he did, especially that one he made in overtime.
Yeah, when you're making saves, it's nice. When you're not, it's not so nice. But yeah, I mean, you know, I felt like I was seeing the puck pretty well tonight and you know, happy with the way I played. I mean, it would have been nice to, you know, get into a shootout, because then it's really is anyone's game then, right? And it would have been nice to steal one there. But, you know, I thought we battled hard. You know, I'm happy with my overall game. But, you know, it would be nice to just get that extra point.
So, yes, the Sharks end up with 1 point as opposed to two. Stephen Lawrence weighed in, though, on it just being a fun, wide-open game.
I don't know if anyone likes the defensive structure games. I think when the fans are engaged and it's going back and forth, it's very exciting. But at the same time, you know, we don't want to turn into a track meet either. There's definitely times where we don't want to be sitting there trading chances back and forth, because, you know, you run out of gas like that. So it's easier to get into those games where, you know, you're going up and back. But we have to be smart as well. We can't be turning pucks over at blue lines. And like I said, if we turn into a track meet, then it could be a long night. But it was definitely an exciting game tonight, you know, a big crowd in Edmonton, and you could feel the energy in the building going back and forth. So all in all, it was unfortunate, like I said, that we didn't come out on top, but all in all, it was a pretty good hockey game.
All in all, it was a pretty good hockey game, and I think that is a fair assessment, even though the Sharks did not come out on top. If you watched that game, you were entertained. You definitely had something that you walked away from thinking about, whether it was an Erik Karlsson goal, whether it was a James Reimer save, whether it was just something that was really fun to watch, you know, in terms of some stick handling, in terms of some passing. Like, those are the type of games that make fans out of casual watchers, especially watching Erik Karlsson do his thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a horse for us all year. Like I said, just the way he sees the game and the little areas he finds himself going into, and you know, the potential for the amount of points you get night in and night out is you know, it's not just a couple of game. You know, he's creating offensive chances all over, and it's pretty much every shift, every time he touches the puck. So there's, you know, there's a few guys in this league that make things happen when the puck's on their stick, and pretty much every time, and he's one of those guys. So it's fun to watch, but at the same time, you can't get too mesmerized by what he's doing out there, because you got to get open and give him an outlet, and, you know, hopefully the puck ends up on your stick from him and you can put it in.
After the game, Karlsson himself spoke about his two-goal performance.
No, I mean, obviously, good place at the right time, and, you know, we need a bit more of that. I think at least today we scored some goals, got some taken away, and, you know, you want to win hockey games, then in the league today, that's what you have to do.
And Karlsson also talked about it being just a unique game from the aspects of the overturned goals and the open nature of it.
No, I mean, obviously, all the challenges were correct, so that's why the system is in place, and, you know, that's the way it is sometimes. I think we got some more taken away than they did, so that kind of sucks, but, you know, again, like I said, like, it was all good calls, and, you know, that's why, you know, we implemented the rules that we have, where they have a chance to look at it, and I like that, you know, they judge it the way that they do, you know, in game speed, and then, you know, they always have a chance to correct it, and, you know, it's just unfortunate that, you know, we couldn't capitalize on at least one of those.
Definitely disappointing, especially in the sense that it took points away from Erik Karlsson, because, you know, we want to see him rack up as many points from now until the end of the year as he can, because, you know, that's one of the main things we are looking at. I know that, you know, we all want the team to have a good draft pick when all is said and done, but at the same time, I do like the fact that Erik Karlsson, representing the San Jose Sharks, is having a phenomenal year. Head coach David Quinn.
Yeah, it was great tonight. It was great. And, you know, you're seeing what we've seen all year, a guy that, you know, to me, it's, you know, when you put up the points he has 5-on-5, I mean, hard to argue not giving him the Norris Trophy. It's just, it's really incredible what he's done.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's one of the most amazing things about this is that in the midst of one of the worst seasons of San Jose Sharks hockey ever, we're watching a performance that is one of the best performances by an individual player ever to don the teal. I mean, that's not easy to do. And, you know, I've talked about this with a couple of guys about the idea that Erik Karlsson is doing this in the midst of a bad year as opposed to, you know, it being a, you know, an incredible year where he's got all sorts of talent around him and he's got all sorts of playmakers. And it's like teams know that if they can shut down Erik Karlsson, it's going to take a big bite away from the Sharks offense. But the thing is, they can't shut him down. They have not been capable of doing it. And last night in a wide open game like that, once again, Erik Karlsson coming through, scoring two big goals and just making his presence known out there on the ice. And that's exactly what you want to see. And he was playing with fire. He was playing with a lot of passion, which I love to see. And I think there were some people who, you know, maybe were not in love with the defense he showed on the Islanders' first goal the other night. But, you know, that's how it is right now. I think that, you know, there were probably some tired legs. There were probably some emotions going into that game that were maybe a little bit of a distraction, and Erik Karlsson did not have his best defensive effort on that play. But the way he played last night, I thought that was very, very impressive and just, you know, showed how much he can bring to the table. And I know everybody acts like it's a foregone conclusion that he will be traded in the offseason, but I always say that that contract is a lot easier to move in theory than it is in reality. And I think that you also have to think about how much you are willing to retain, which I think if you're, you know, Mike Greer, you maybe don't want to retain that much. Maybe you'd rather have Erik Karlsson out there on the ice helping you as opposed to just paying dead money, because that's, I don't know, it's not my favorite outcome when all is said and done. A little bit more from head coach David Quinn, just talking about the game and then the overturned goals.
Well, we've seen that movie before. Listen, just you know, one of the best teams in the league who's got an awful lot of firepower, and I thought we'd compete our asses off. And you know, obviously we're in different situations from an organizational standpoint than they are, and our goalie played great, and I thought we did a lot of good things tonight, but it just wasn't enough, and you know, we almost got to the shootout, and anything can happen in the shootout situation, but you know, I just really liked our compete and our effort. We were almost onside, we were almost not in the blue enough, you know, I mean, That's really been the story. I think that was our 22nd one-goal loss, which is second in the league. So, you know, and obviously we've taken a hit here in the last 3 weeks from a roster standpoint, but these guys competing their asses off and, you know, give everything they had and put up a good fight.
Yeah, the story of almost being there is one that we've seen with the San Jose Sharks all year long. And if you heard me on the build-up yesterday, it was something that I was talking about, how, you know, you look at all the overtime losses, you look at all these close games the Sharks have been involved in. We always talk about the linear progression, or at least I always do about it. It's never just, you know, going to be from, you know, you're this much better and that much better and consistent steps forward in terms of the progression of the team, but it's going to be, you know, step forward, two steps back, three steps forward, a step back, two steps forward, three steps back, five steps forward, you know, these type of things that do not necessarily present as a straight line projected on a graph. But I will say that if you add more talent to this Sharks team, that you might have a greater chance of overcoming a lot of these one-goal games. Because we've seen the effort. We have seen the drive and the desire from all of these players. We just haven't seen the outcome when all is said and done. Like the Sharks, again, you look at all the overtime losses. You look at all the, you know, problems that they've had finishing out games. And if you're just a little bit better in a game where you have a 4-2 lead and then you end up losing in a shootout, despite being up two goals with 5 minutes to play, that little bit better probably leads you to win. If you're a little bit better in a game where you score an empty net goal, you don't end up losing that game. That little bit better probably allows you to take it to the next level and get that win. And this is why I always point to the idea of the Sharks not being as far off as we think they are, because if the home record is more in line with what we've seen in the past, which, by the way, if you're wondering, last year the Sharks at home, 18-18-5. That is a wild, wild difference compared to what they are this year, in which they only have 6 wins at home. If you get, you know, a record that's more in line with that and combine it with the Sharks on the road record this year and maybe add a little bit of talent to the roster, then the Sharks are more in that conversation of being a playoff team. And I'm not saying that it's just that easy, because you can't take 1 year and, you know, transpose it across another season. Like, that's not how sports work. But my point is that all these close losses are happening for a reason. A, they're not good enough. But B, what if they were just a little bit better? How much would that have changed the entire outcome of all these games as we perceive them? It's something that I think about quite a bit. I'll be honest. I think about, what if the Sharks were just a little bit better? And I know we don't want to get just a little bit better to make it to the first round of the playoffs and then get blown out by, you know, team XYZ that's a buzzsaw in the one seed. You want to be able to be that much better to build on it. But again, I look at these performances and think maybe, just maybe, not that far off. All right, we are out of time. I will see you on Thursday afternoon with the buildup for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.